for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Right, P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the Friday evening service of November the 28th, 1997, of the Thanksgiving camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Brother Tommy Cook is the speaker for the evening.
Praise the Lord. Let's stand. Praise the Lord. Amen. How many's enjoyed the service so far? Let's give the Lord a good hand. Come on. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Praise you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, God. Father, we thank you for this time together, Lord, as we approach the Word. We approach it reverently, Lord. We can do nothing without you, Lord. We submit to you. Lord, we tremble at this Word. This Word is true. And Lord God, we thank you for your precious Word tonight. Open our hearts to receive it. God, we ask the Holy Spirit will give us open hearts, open minds, and a teachable spirit. And we all said in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. God love you and God bless you. Praise the Lord. I really enjoyed the worship tonight. How many enjoyed the worship?
Amen.
Wasn't it wonderful? Hallelujah. Amen. Wonderful tonight. I loved it. Praise God. I enjoyed Robert's word he shared last night on the fire. How many know the fire is real?
Amen.
Amen. You know, there's God's fire, there's judgment fire, and then there's strange fire. Strange fire is that which we do out of ourselves, that God has not commanded. But I enjoyed his word last night. And then Brother Trent this morning, how many enjoyed that word this morning too? That was a wonderful word that he brought in Matthew 17, and how that we should see with spiritual eyes as well as our natural eyes. And then this afternoon, Sister Coffey shared on the occult. How many enjoyed that this afternoon? Praise God. It was a good word. And I received some things out of it. I enjoyed it. How many know when you receive something, it's worth listening to, isn't it? Can you say amen? Tonight I want to share on brotherly love, the sixth church in Revelation. And tell me who it is.
Philadelphia.
There you go. Somebody's been studying. Now let's go to Revelation. You can find that book, so let's turn over there. That's an easy book to find. Revelation chapter 3. Praise God. How many thank God for the book of Revelation and all the Word of God? You know, in my margin of the beginning of the top of the Bible and in Revelation, it says the revelation of St. John the Divine. I mean, no, it wasn't John's revelation. It was the revelation of Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus, of course, by his angel, gave it to John. And John wasn't divine. Jesus is divine. Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
And this revelation came from the Father to Jesus, from Jesus to the angel, and from the angel to John to the servants of the church. How many know we are his servants tonight? We are doulos, his bond slaves, even his voluntary love slaves, even unto death. And how many believe John saw some people that he identified with? He was on the Isle of Patmos for the Word of God, for the testimony of Jesus. And he talked about that in chapter 6. He talked about it in chapter 20. He talked about it in chapter 12. John identified with his brothers. And how many know there's some people we must identify with today across this world? Amen? The true servants of God. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Okay, Revelation 3. Revelation 3, look at verse 7. And to the angel of the church in brotherly love, Philadelphia, write these things, saith he, that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works, behold, I set before thee an open door, no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength. Thou hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to who, brethren?
The churches.
How many know we're the church tonight?
Amen.
Amen. Now, Jesus is speaking. How many thank God for Jesus tonight? This is not the words of any man. These are the words of Jesus. It's got red letters in my Bible. Hallelujah. And the one that's speaking here is Jesus. Hallelujah. And he talks about, first of all, he said, he that is holy. I mean, he's holy tonight.
Amen.
He that is true. Hallelujah. And he that hath the key, singular, the key of David. Praise God. How many know a key locks or unlocks a door? We know that, don't we? Amen? It'll keep you in. I mean, you can lock yourself in or out, whatever. But it says, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. How many believe when Jesus shuts a door, there's no way you can break it down? And when Jesus opens a door, come on, there's no man can keep you out of it. Can you say amen? Now, in Isaiah 22, just turn there for just a minute, and we'll go there in just a minute. We're going to talk about here just a few minutes a man named Eliakim. Eliakim in Isaiah 22, his name means the resurrection of God or God the Avenger. How many believe in the resurrection of God tonight? Hallelujah. And how many believe God is the Avenger? And God said, I will avenge my elect speedily. Remember that in Luke 18? But Jesus has the key to every situation, whether it be finances, family, ministry, whatever it may be. Hallelujah. How many know he lets us in or he keeps us out? And unless he uses the key to open the door, none can enter, brethren. But I thank God he has the key, not only the key of David, but he has all the keys, doesn't he? How many believe that? And so we know he had opened up the door of faith to the Jew and to the Greeks. Praise God in that new covenant relationship with God through Christ Jesus. Are you glad that he let you in? Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm not on the outside today. I'm glad I'm inside. Amen? With the Lord. And so he has the keys of the kingdom, which is the binding and loosing. He has the keys of the key of knowledge. He has the keys of death and hell. He has the key to the bottomless pit. And he has the key of David. Now here in Isaiah 22, in Isaiah chapter 22, we see just a few scriptures here that shows us, I believe, what this key is. Chapter 22, verse 20. And it shall come to pass in what day? We can say today, this almost, it's in this day, couldn't we? How many know we're approaching the day of the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. We're approaching that day. So in that day that I will call my servant Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, and I will clothe him with thy robe and strengthen him with thy girdle. And I will commit thy government into his hand. He shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. And the key of the house of David. The key of the house of David. I was thinking about that where it says house of David in Zechariah. How many know God's going to open up a fountain to the house of David? And how many know the blood is going to be opened up, hallelujah, to a people? Amen? As well as the Spirit. But he said, he has the key of the house of David, and I will lay upon his shoulder. What is the shoulder? Come on, what does it represent? The government. The key represents the government. This man's a picture of the Lord. Hallelujah. And so he said, I'll put this key of David there, and I will lay upon his shoulder that. And so he shall open, and none shall shut. He shall shut, and none shall open. And I will fasten him as a nail in a sure place. And he shall be for a glorious throne to his father's house, and they shall hang upon him all the glory of his father's house. Hallelujah. Now, notice, first of all, he says that he has a robe. He has a garment. He's clothed. How many thank God for your clothing tonight in the natural? But how many know that there's a clothing tonight that you don't see with the natural eye? Isn't that right? How many know there's a difference in the garment and the robe? We receive the garment, come on, amen, by faith. But how many know it's time to put on the robe? And there's a lot of teaching I could go in on that. And then he said, not only did he receive the robe, but he also gave him also the girdle to be strengthened. How many know the girdle fits around the waist? It speaks of the belt of truth, okay? It's around the loins, praise God. Anybody want to put on the belt of truth, the girdle of truth tonight? And then he said, I'm going to lay this key of the house of David, I will put on his shoulder. That's his government. That's his government. And notice what he says there. And the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder, and he shall open, and none shall shut unshut, and none shall open, and so forth. Praise God. Now, and then he said in verse 23, he said he shall be for a glorious throne. I mean, oh, that speaks of overcoming. I mean, believe he was the first overcomer. Come on now, don't shout me down. Anybody want to be an overcomer? There's a difference in the church and overcoming, isn't there? Overcomers are coming out of the church, so to speak. Oh, they're in the church, but how many know they stand up in the church? But there's overcoming, there's ruling, there's government, there's authority, there's a lot of things. And then it says also here, and they shall hang upon him all the glory of his father's house. So he has the garment, he has the girdle of truth, he has the government on his shoulder. Hallelujah. He has a glorious throne. He has the glory of his father's house. And then it says a little verse in verse 21. It says, notice, hallelujah, concerning this key and the government, where it talks about the government. And he shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. I mean, no, he's the father to the praisers tonight. Amen. Amen. So the key of David speaks of the government of God. Anybody want to enter the government of God? Anybody want to enter the government of God? Let me tell you what the government of God is. It is righteousness. Come on, help me. Peace. And joy where? Holy Ghost. It is power. It is a person. His name is Jesus. It is everlasting. It is the glory of God. It is majesty. It is the will of God. It is the gift of God. You know, the little flock, he said, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you, come on, the kingdom. Isn't that right? And then it's where his lordship is. It is the government of God, and it's the love of God. And that's what I wanted to share on tonight, but I'm not going into that vein. How many believe the kingdom is the love of God? Huh? Yeah. You know, God is the government, isn't he? Yeah. He is the kingdom. Yeah. He's light. Come on, he's love. He's a consuming fire. He's the Word. He's all of those things. How do we enter this kingdom, brethren? By tribulation. Persecution. By becoming poor in spirit. By being violent. Taking the kingdom by violence. Pressing. Anybody want to press? When you start pressing, somebody starts pressing you. Isn't that right? By agonizing, striving. Now, I'm talking about in the spirit. By translation, by becoming a child, by knowing the will of God, by knowing Him as Lord, doing what He says, amen, as well, and being instructed in the things of God. Praise the Lord. So, the kingdom is real tonight. Hallelujah. And so, the key of David, Jesus said, I have it. I have it. Praise the Lord. And so, I believe He's opening doors, He's closing doors. The second thing is, looking back in Revelation now, chapter 3, let's see what else He said to us here. Praise God. He said in verse 8, and I believe there's a connection between verse 7 and 8, between that key and verse 8, because he talks about something open in verse 8 as well as verse 7. And I know thy works. Does he know our works? I mean, you don't work to get saved, but after you get saved, you do those things that God directs. Isn't that right? As Brother Trent said today, we walk, we move in the Spirit as the sons of God. We don't just work something up. We let God direct us. We do as God directs us. Now, he said this word. Now, watch it. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee, come on, an open door. Is that speaking to you tonight as well? Or is it just for preachers? Come on now. No, it's for everybody. No man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, hast kept my word, and hast not denied, come on, my nature, my name. So there's a promise, first of all, about the key of David. We can enjoy that. Now there's a promise of the open door. I mean, oh God, Jesus has an open door policy. Hallelujah. But no man can shut it when it's open, he says. Now, we know Jesus is the door. Isn't that true? Now look in Revelation 4. John saw this as I was studying one night. I've been studying on Revelation, Matthew 25. How many know that the wise went in the door and the foolish was left out? That is not a natural door. That was a spiritual door. But the Lord spoke to me and quickened me. Revelation 4. Let's turn there. How many know John's in the Spirit here? John's in the Holy Ghost. And how many know when you get the Holy Ghost or in the Spirit, you're not the same person? Come on now. Amen. You're different, aren't you? Amen. I don't mean you're stuck up or prideful in that, but I'm just, you're different. Amen. It's wonderful to be in the Spirit. Now, he said, notice in verse 1, he said, after I looked and behold, a door was opened where? In the heavenlies. Hallelujah. Now, I don't believe it's a natural door because heaven's a spirit realm. But John saw this heavenly door, and I believe that door represents Christ, okay? And notice the first voice that I heard was, as it were, a trumpet talking with me. You ever had a trumpet talk to you? I mean, oh, it's a message, a voice here from God. Are you hearing me? Which said, notice this trumpet's talking, which said, come up hither. And that's also mentioned in chapter 11 concerning the two witnesses. Come up hither. Hallelujah. So John sees the door open, heaven's there, the voice comes, come up hither. And John ascended in the Spirit. John's body's on the earth. He was there immediately, wasn't he? And he saw the throne. Come on. And he saw the one on the throne. There was an open door to John into the heavenlies. Anybody want an open door tonight?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many know as we learn that walk in the Spirit, we might just have an experience like John? Are you hearing me? Look back to chapter 1 in Revelation. Again, look at verse 1. Now watch this. The revelation of, come on, Jesus Christ, which God gave, unto him to show unto his, come on, servants. Those servants that I talked about. Are we a servant tonight? Huh? If God gave it to John, how many know he wants to give it to you and me? And you might have the same experience that John had. I don't know. Hallelujah. But he wanted to show it to his servants things which must shortly, come on, come to pass. Come to pass. And so, John, look in chapter 4, verse 1. Now again, let's see this here in chapter 4. He's showing those things that's to come to pass. The latter part of verse 1 of chapter 4. Verse 1 of chapter 4. Come up hither, and I will show thee things that must be, come on, hereafter. I mean, oh, there's a hereafter. Hallelujah. Jesus wants to open us up tonight. Praise the Lord. He wants to give us first an open door into the heavenlies. Do you believe that? And how many know that in Matthew 25, there was somebody on the outside, somebody on the inside. A door will either keep you in or keep you out. Isn't that right? And you know, brethren, in Matthew 25, they went into the marriage feast. Let's go look at that. 25:10. And I want to say something to you about the marriage feast. Whether you agree with it or not, I don't care. Hallelujah. 25:10. I love you anyway. 25:10. Listen to this. And while they went to buy, the foolish, why were they foolish? Because they thought they can make it to midnight without an extra supply of oil. Doesn't mean they're not saved. They're not going to go to hell. I don't believe that at all. I know people's taught that. But while they went to buy, and how many know you're not buying it with money? Come on, it's your self life. And the bridegroom, what? Came. They that were, come on, help me. Ready went where? Went where? Where'd they go? They went into the wedding feast. All right? And the door was shut. So the wise are in the inside. The foolish are on the outside. Isn't that true? Now, the marriage feast, I'm not talking about marriage feast in heaven. Look in Matthew 22, and I'll show you why. Now, I believe in heaven. Don't misunderstand. How many believe in heaven tonight? It's a real place. But the wedding feast is not in heaven. I know that I've been taught that. I was taught that years ago. Look in chapter 22, and look at verse 2. Jesus is talking about what? What's he talking about in chapter 22, 2? The kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king which made a marriage for his son. Who is that son, brethren? It's Jesus. Who's the king? It's the Father. And sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. They rejected it. Are there people rejecting that marriage feast today?
Yes.
That intimacy with Jesus? Come on. That union, that communion with Jesus, that fellowship with Jesus. Now, verse 4. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Just come to the marriage. All you have to do is come to the feast. Hallelujah. I mean, he paid the total price. Next verse. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm. Well, I have a message on this back on my wedding feast book in the back. Another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth. And he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Verse 8. Then he said to his servants, the wedding is what? Come on. Ready. Do you believe it's ready? Has he got it prepared? But they which were bidden were not worthy. Next verse. Go ye therefore in the highways, and as many as you shall find, bid. Not just the church, come on. Right. To the marriage feast, to this banquet that he's preparing. Not that I'm against going to church. Please don't misunderstand. Verse 10. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all, as many as they found, both bad, come on, good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came to see the guests, he saw there a man that had not on what? Come on. Wedding garment. When you went in, they gave you water to wash and a wedding garment. But here was one in the feast that did not have on this wedding garment. And he said to him, friend, notice that, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Now, what does that mean? Here's a man that sat under the preaching, the teaching of the Lord. I mean, we got churches today, people are sitting under the teaching and preaching the Word. But it never took hold. It never did a work in a person. How many other people go to church every Sunday and it's just like water rolling off a duck's back? It doesn't do anything. Come on, amen? Amen. And so this man, what is our wedding garment? It is Christ. It is righteousness, isn't it? He's the covering. It's His Spirit. And so the man was speechless. And then it says, look at verse 13. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away, cast him in the outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called for your chosen. Now, if that was heaven, that means Jesus took him to heaven and then threw him out of heaven into hell. I don't believe that'll happen. The wedding feast is here. We're in the feast today. Look in Revelation 3. Hallelujah. Then I'm going to So I tell you what the wedding feast is. Revelation 3, verse 20. How many believe on the way to the throne you got to stop off to the table? Chapter 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the what? How many know that's the door of your heart? And knock. If any man will hear my... How do you hear his voice? What are you hearing? You're hearing the Spirit, aren't you? All right, if any man will hear my voice... That's the trumpet John heard. And open the door. Open the door of your heart. Or your will. I will come in to him and will what? That word sup is supper. It means to dine out, have an evening meal with. See, it's how many know, how many see that in the Spirit now? An intimacy. Come on, a union, a communion with Jesus. That's happening now. Don't wait till the sweet by and by. We're in the nasty now. Come on, amen. Now, he said in this verse, and I will sup with him, I will come into him and I will sup with him, and he with me. The supper is here. The supper is happening. I'm not talking about a 1,500-mile table in heaven and somebody, me on one end and Brother Robert on the other end, and say, hey, Robert, pass the green beans. I'm not talking about that stuff. I'm talking about a feast that's happening now. All the fullness will yet be. We haven't come to the fullness of it. Don't misunderstand me. But I'm telling you that there is an intimacy, there's a union, there's a fellowship taking place now. We put everything off in heaven and for the future. What about right now? Hey, I had communion today with Jesus. How about you? Huh? Here's what the wedding feast is. The marriage supper of the Lamb is the place in the Spirit where the sons of God receive the seed of Christ within their souls and the... And the long-sought-after change begins to occur in their soul nature. The work of the Holy Ghost is to inseminate the bride at the marriage feast. with the Christ seed so that she might bring forth Christ. Amen? And I can say a whole lot more I got here, but I won't. I'll say this. The wedding feast, therefore, is the new thing God is doing in the earth at this time, in which He, the Spirit of God, is overshadowing the elect, the called out of the called out, inseminating their souls with His own divine nature, which is the promise of God in 2 Peter. Brethren, when you get your soul saved, you get your soul sealed, you'll be in the marriage feast like you've never been there. Same with me. Can you hear what I'm saying? I'm not talking about flying off to heaven. We preached that too long. Hey, Jesus is coming back from heaven to this earth. We're going to see that in a minute. Go back to Revelation. Praise God. All right, let's see what an open door is. 1 Corinthians 16:9. 1 Corinthians 16:9. How many believe He's doing a work in us, in your soul? When you get, every time you get deliverance, He's doing a work in your soul. Every time God changes us by His Holy Spirit and His Word in our minds and wills and emotions and desires, we know that change is taking place. All right, 1 Corinthians 16:9. Hallelujah. Paul said, "For a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries." You pray for open doors, you're praying for adversaries. You have open doors, you'll have adversaries. Come on, amen? Come on, how many has ever experienced that? Amen. Paul said, a great, great door, effectual door. It's open to me, but there's many adversaries. I mean, remember, you remember in Acts 16, he had the vision of the man who said, "Come over and help us." Remember that? Well, he went over there and got put in jail. Remember that? All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 12. 2 Corinthians 2:12. Paul said, "Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach the Christ gospel, and a door was opened to me of the Lord." Hallelujah. A door was opened to me of the Lord. So the Lord opens doors. Amen? Then we go to Acts 14. Acts 14, 27. Praise you, Lord. Acts 14, 27. "And when they were come and they'd gathered the church together," Paul and I believe it's Barnabas here, or maybe Silas, I forget. "They rehearsed all that God had done with them and how He had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles." Praise God. The door of faith to the Gentiles. And then in Colossians, one other scripture, Colossians 4. Colossians 4 and no more. Oh. Colossians 4, verse 2. And Paul said, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us that God would open." Anybody praying for open doors? That God would open unto us, him and his ministry team, a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also what? In bonds, that I might make it manifest as I ought to speak. So he was praying for the open door to speak the mystery of Christ. What is the mystery of Christ? Come on, help me. Christ where? In you. Come on, the hope of glory. Now let's go back to Revelation. The Lord just spoke something to me in my spirit. Let me know that John in chapter 4, his body was on the earth, and yet he heard a voice which said, what? Come up hither. And John heard the trumpet. John was called up in the Spirit. He saw the throne. He saw the Lord on the throne there as he heard the trumpet and as he moved in the Spirit. Now, look in Revelation 12. I want to show you that John's a picture, not of the rapture of the church in the physical, but in the Spirit. John is a picture of the catching up of God's people in the Spirit, not so much in the natural. Chapter 12, verse 5. And it happened right here. And we're dealing with who? The man-child. Now, you know what, brethren? People say, well, this man-child is Jesus. No, it's Jesus in a people. It can't be Jesus. You know why? Because Jesus did not go to the throne when he was first born. I mean, no, he was taken to Egypt after he was born. Isn't that right? Huh? How many know your Bibles? Is that true? Amen. This man-child, when he's born, he was called immediately to the throne. And John was seeing a future event. And here in chapter 12, verse 5, now notice. "And she, the church, the bride, brought," not Israel. Israel's not in the heavenlies tonight, is she? Natural Israel. Come on. Look down to verse 12:17 first. Look in 12:17. Israel is not also keeping the commandments of God, and she don't have the testimony of Jesus as a whole tonight, natural Israel. I mean, no, spiritual Israel does. Come on, don't shout me down. That's true. But in verse 5, this one that's caught up is the overcomers. I'm going to prove it to you. She brought forth what? Man-child. Everybody say man-child. Who was to rule or shepherd. Oh, what? Somebody said, well, Jesus is going to do that. Yeah, he's going to do it. He sure is. With what?
Rod of iron.
Rod of iron. And her child was caught up. Was John caught up? Did John get caught up? Sure he did. The Spirit. Didn't the Spirit take John to the throne there? Huh? Uh-huh. She notice this verse. The child was caught up to God. God is a what? What is God?
Spirit.
Spirit. And notice now. And to his throne. Did John see that throne? Was John taken there? Did John see the one on the throne? So will this one. John's a picture of the overcomer. Are you hearing me? Now, it said here that he'll rule what? All nations with a rod of iron. It didn't say a staff. It's not the flesh. Come on, it's the rule in the Spirit. Now look in Revelation 2. Let's see who it is. The Bible answers it. Throw all your prophecy books away and let God begin to teach you. That's what I did with mine. How many know the Holy Ghost, the greatest teacher we have? And one of the guys I studied under years ago was Larkin. And yet Larkin, in his book that most Pentecostal preachers have, said speaking in tongues is of the devil. I don't believe he had a real revelation of revelation. Come on, don't shout me down. That's just one guy. Okay. Revelation 2:26. We're all learning, though. And he that overcometh and keeps my works to the end, to him, that overcomer, I'm going to give power over who? Where's the nations? In heaven or here?
Here.
And he shall rule, shepherd them, same in 12:5, with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they, the nations, be broken to shivers and small pieces. Even as I received of my Father, I will give him the what? The? I mean, oh, Jesus is that morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saying to the churches. Hallelujah. So I'm telling you, John is a picture of the overcomers caught to the throne in chapter 4 and chapter 12. You see those overcomers in chapter 14. Look in chapter 14. Praise God. We might be here at midnight. The Lord's in it, fine. If he's not, something else. Let me tell you about Revelation. If you can see, first of all, Jesus. How many know he's the one exalted in this book? I challenge you to go through and look at all the names of God in Revelation. I tell you, it's marvelous. And how many know the Lamb is mentioned, I don't know, 28, 29 times in the book of Revelation. Jesus is the center of Revelation. Don't lose that. He is the center of the book of Revelation. But also, he has one coming forth in his image and likeness called the Overcomer. If you can see the Overcomer in Revelation, you'll understand a lot of this book. It'll help you, okay? But you got to first see that in Jesus. In chapter 14, verse 1, I looked, and lo, a Lamb. A lamb. Tell me his name, brethren. Come on.
Jesus.
A lamb stood. Didn't he stand when Stephen died? Come on, amen. He's going to stand up again. He stood on the Mount Zion. The word Zion or Zion is the same word. Now circle that. Let me tell you what it means. Write it in your Bible. That word Zion means the church militant and triumphant. From the Greek. The church militant and triumphant. Listen, God don't have no weak church. Come on, amen. God has a militant, triumphant people through Christ. Now, and with him. Anybody want to be with him? You can see that in chapter 17, chapter 20. And with him, 144,000. But you know what the Greek says? It didn't say 144,000. It says 144,000s, plural. It is not a symbolical number. I mean, it is not a literal number. It's symbolical. 140, it's not Jehovah's Witnesses. Come on. We're not talking about that junk. We're talking about 144,000. And how many know if you look at 144,000, that's 12 by 12 is what? Come on. Times 10 is 144,000. How many know 10 by 10 by 10 was the dimension of the Holy of Holies? And I'll tell you, that's who they are, Holy of Holies people. She talked about that salvation today. Common salvation. Amen. Great salvation. Eternal salvation. 30, 60, 100. How many know God speaks in threes? I've got about 75 of those threes God's given me over the years. Probably many more of that, but I've got that many. And if you can see the threes, it will help you. How many know that the Bible talks in John 15 of fruit? More fruit, and then much fruit. Amen? Passover, Pentecost, come on. Tabernacles. You can just go on and on. Amen? The blade, the ear, the full ear. I mean, you know, the cub, the bear, the old lion. Just so many of those, you know, I could spit them out. Okay. Now notice the scripture. 144,000 having his father's name, nature, written where? In their foreheads. How many believe God's putting something in our forehead? In our mind. This is the sealing of God. This is the mind of Christ. Now look in Revelation 22. Somebody said, well, that's the Jews. No, it isn't. It's the spiritual Jews, yeah. Revelation 22, look at verse 3 and 4. And I'm not saying there won't be some of those Jews out of Israel to be in this crowd. How many know that God's saving a people from every nation and delivering a people, bringing them forth to be part of this remnant? Come on, amen? Every nation. Chapter 22 of Revelation, verse 3. There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his what? Servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face. There's that marriage feast. There's that intimacy. And his name shall be where? Is that just talking to natural Israel? Come on, help me. Are you a servant tonight? It's talking to you and me. It's talking to anybody that comes to Christ. Amen. That wants to be part of this great remnant. He's sealing us, isn't he? Look in Revelation 7. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I get excited when I talk about the overcomer. I tell you, that's an exciting message. Hallelujah. Mildred gets excited talking about deliverance. Amen. Brother and Brother Robert and Sister Linda, they get excited on certain things. And when I get on the overcomer, I get excited. Hallelujah. Where did I say go? Chapter 7. Now, there's a lot here I'm not even going to touch. But after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor the sea, nor any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from which way? Come on, which way is it coming? From the east. Having the seal of the living God. Anybody want life tonight? Is anybody here being sealed by life tonight? Come on, amen? We are being sealed, aren't we? How many believe it's a process? I'm being sealed. You're being sealed if you're moving on in God. Isn't that right? It's in that soul. We've already been sealed in our spirit. How many know? We're saved by the blood, aren't we? Filled with the Holy Ghost is the sealing. Come on. But there's another sealing he's doing now in the mind. Now, because destruction has come up on the world, great death and destruction, and God has to give us his mind to stand. In your patience, possess ye your soul. You're going to have it. Come on. I'm going to tell you something. Now, listen. The church ain't going to be gone. Destruction could hit tomorrow, next month, next year in this country. We don't know, or any country. Church ain't going to be gone. You got to get ready to stand. Anybody want to get ready to stand? Hallelujah. I was in that teaching years for years. I preached it for years. But when God showed me the error of it, I came out of it. And I'm preaching against it. Hallelujah. It's false teaching, and it'll take you a wrong direction. How many know that tribulation is going to work in you and work in me to take us into that kingdom? Come on, don't shout me down. Amen? Hallelujah. But I love those who preach the other anyway. Come on, we've got to love them. Isn't that right? We've got to love them. Can't hate them. They can't hate us either. Come on. Praise God. All right, now let's go a little farther. Let's see something else here. Look back in Revelation 3 now. Better get back on the subject. I am on it. Revelation 3, verse 9. Let's see what Jesus said. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are what? How many know there's a lot of people saying they're Christians today that aren't Christians? How many know a lot of people talk it but don't walk it? Come on, amen? And these were saying they're Jews. And he said they're not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Now notice, he didn't say they're going to come and worship you. He said they're going to come and worship at thy feet. Now look over with us in the scripture with me, if you will. There's an Isaiah 60. Isaiah 60. Hallelujah. Isaiah 60. Praise God. Verse 14. And the Bible said, the sons also, so also of them that afflicted thee. How many believe the synagogue of Satan or those of Satan will afflict you? Huh? Anybody believe that?
Yep.
Anybody been afflicted by something? Notice, the sons also of them that afflicted thee shall come bending to thee, and all they that despise thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet, and they shall call thee the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. And they're going to worship us, but they're going to recognize God is in us. Amen? Amen? So there's a promise of vindication against the synagogue of Satan. Now go to Revelation 12. I want to really hit you up with a bomb. Roberts can take it. He's up here on the front row. In Revelation 12, I love this chapter. We've been teaching on it in Tulsa. You know, I live in Tulsa. How many know it's a big faith town? They say. It's a religious town. I'll put it that way.
Yeah.
And I tell you, brethren, it's a strong city full of religion. And I've been praying, God, give me a greater voice in that city for you. And preaching this overcoming message in Tulsa, it's very difficult, but we've done it for years and we'll continue. How many believe that God is going to bring down religious systems in this hour?
Yes.
Everything that brings glory to man and to self will fall.
Amen.
In Revelation 12, the stars fall from heaven. And that wasn't something John just saw way back there. It was something he saw in the future. Listen, brethren, stars are falling today.
Amen?
Amen? And yet God's raising up a people in the heavenlies as well. But here in chapter 12, God said to me one time, He said this to me one time. He said there are four churches in Revelation 12. Anybody hear what I just said?
Yes.
He said there's four churches. He said there is the woman, which is the bride of Christ. Not Israel. The bride of Christ. And notice in verse 1, let's see what she's got here. There appeared a great wonder, where?
In the heavenlies.
Now, I want to tell you something about that word heaven. That word heaven there is impure because the dragon's also in that heaven. If you got a dragon where you are, how many know something's impure around you?
Amen.
Now, God's not impure. We know that. And where God the Father is, there's no impurity. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But he said there appeared a great wonder or sign in heaven, a woman clothed with what? What's she clothed with?
The
sun. That's Christ. That's righteousness. That's the glory of God. That's her covering. How many thank God he's our covering tonight? You know, you can get man to cover, and you got all kind of people saying, I'll cover you, but I won't tell you, Jesus will cover you.
Right.
Come on, amen? And so tonight, she is the church, the bride. And then we know that she brought forth what? Who'd she bring forth? I read to you a while ago. Who'd she bring forth?
Amen.
The man child. That's the second church. But then the third church, notice where she's standing in verse 1. Where's she standing? Where is she standing? What's under her feet? Come on, help me. Does the moon have any light of itself?
No.
Is it second-hand light?
Yes.
Is it artificial light, we'd say?
Yes.
Amen? Is it reflected light?
Yes.
Amen. The moon is the old order. How many's come out of some old order in your life? Be honest.
Yes.
Come on, amen? God, I can look back and see how God's brought me out of places and things. And this moon, the old moon is under her feet. The old order is under her feet. She's standing on top of it, which means she came out of it. And that's a church. Anybody hearing me? And then number 4, you got the dragon. Well, what do we just read in chapter 3, verse 9, and chapter 2, verse 9 of Revelation? There is the synagogue of
Satan.
Satan has a synagogue. And how many know he uses also the world powers of the world? The powers of this age or world also to attack the church, as well as religious systems. Isn't that right? And you know who is Satan going to use in this end time? The harlot church. I mean, the harlot belongs to Satan, not Jesus. Come on now. Amen? Hallelujah. So, the promise of vindication will be they will come at your feet and bow down. Amen? That's what he said. Now, let's go back to Revelation 3. Praise God. Amen. Now, here's a big one. Look in chapter 3 and look at verse 10.
Now, these guys who preach the rapture, any minute rapture, say, right here, see, this shows the church is going to be gone. Anybody ever heard that? I used to preach it. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of trials or temptations which shall come upon, notice, all the world to try them that dwell where? Now flip to Revelation 7 just a minute. Verse 13. Hallelujah. And one of the elders answered and said to me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said to him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of good times. Party. Huh? The tribulation the great. And have washed their robes. Come on. Made them white in something. Come on. The blood of the Lamb. Amen? Notice, therefore, are they before what? Was John before the throne? Was the 144,000 there? These are before the throne of God, which serve Him. How long did they serve Him? Is there any night in heaven? Huh? Where is the night? On the earth. You don't have to be, you don't have to die to be before the throne. Come on, amen? John didn't die, did he? He was taken there. They served him, come on, day and night. And then notice this, brethren. Hallelujah. In his temple, are we the temple of the Holy Ghost? I'm not talking about a natural temple. He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. Where's he at tonight? He's here, isn't he? Come on, Christ in you, the... And they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. I'm not just talking about green beans and mashed potatoes. How many of you is going to quench that hunger and thirst in us? Come on, amen. And of course, some may have actually been in hunger and thirst in that time of great trouble. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. You read that in Revelation 16. For the Lamb that's in the midst of the throne shall shepherd them, feed them, and shall lead them, come on, into living fountains of waters. You know who that is? That's the body of Christ. There's a fountain in every one here tonight because the fountain's in us. Come on, amen. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. How many of us are going to take away all the heartaches, all the struggles, all those things? Amen. Now you tell this people here that they were set free and didn't have to go through anything. Huh? What about the Chinese that was butchered when communism came in? They were waiting on a rapture, any minute raptured. And many were butchered and slaughtered waiting on that kind of doctrine. And they said, go back to America and tell the preachers to preach that the church will go through tribulation. Get them prepared for the coming of the Lord and tell them they're going to go through something. Come on, amen. Corrie Ten Boom. How many know she knew what tribulation was? She said the same thing. There's only one man on television, big TV ministers that I know even talks about the tribulation. That's Pat Robertson. Pat believes the church goes through tribulation. But whether he believes it or not, doesn't matter. The Word teaches it. Well, somebody said, well, the big faith brother over here doesn't believe it. I don't care what they believe. The Word says we're going to go through some things. Come on, amen. Hallelujah. Now, let's go back to that scripture, Revelation 3. I'm just getting started, Robert. Chapter 3. He said, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation. I will keep thee, he says. Praise God. How many know the word keep means to be preserved? Did God keep the three Hebrew children? Did God preserve them? Were they in fire? Are you sure? Okay. Did God keep Noah? Did God rapture Noah? Did God rapture the three Hebrews? Did he rapture Lot? He took him out, though, didn't he? Did God rapture Israel when he took him out there in Egypt, when they were in Egypt? No. He brought them out, didn't he? Huh? How many know our flesh wants to escape? I said our flesh wants to escape. Sure it does. Mine does, too. But when he says here, he will keep you from the hour... Two other translations I read today. One says he'll keep you safe from that hour. Amplified says safe. God can protect you in any situation. Amen? Revelation 7 says they came out of great tribulation. How many know God kept them? And even if a person lays their life down, how many know you're still kept? You're still preserved. Isn't that right? Praise God. Amen? Look in Revelation 14 just a minute. It says here in verse 3, concerning this 144,000, they sung as it were a new song, a new message before the throne. That's where they're at. Before the beast, the elders, no man can learn that song but the 144,000, which were redeemed, what? What's the next word?
From the earth.
From the earth. Were they ever here on the earth? Sure. They lived here on the earth. They were here on the earth, but they were redeemed from the carnal realm, wasn't they? Come on, amen. And then there's another verse, the next verse. These are they which were not defiled with women. They are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from what? Were they living among men? Sure. And they were redeemed from men. Now, God said, I'll keep you from that hour, or safe from that hour. Doesn't mean you're not going to go through things. He's going to protect you. He's going to keep you right in the midst of it. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. I'd rather get ready to stay than go. I would rather be prepared to stay than go. Because I'm going to tell you something. When the bombs start hitting, come on, and destruction hits this country, I mean, oh, we better know that we're in the most holy of holies. Come on, amen? Amen. Praise God. Now, let's go back to Revelation 3. Revelation 3. Thank you, Jesus. In chapter 3, verse 11, behold, I what? Come on. Come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Do you believe Jesus will come? Yes, he will. Jesus will come literally, gloriously, visibly, and personally from heaven. Do you believe that? Jesus will come in fire and with fire. Jesus will come in the saints and with the saints. Jesus will come in the clouds and with the clouds. The Bible said we must look for his coming, we must love his appearing, and we must be like him when he appears. Jesus will come again. Do you believe that? I wrote this little book, I preached it right here at this pulpit, on the Behold, he cometh with clouds. This is in Revelation 19. Listen to this. His mount was a white horse. His title, he's faithful and true. He's Almighty God. He's the Word of God and the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. His warfare, in righteousness, he doth judge and make war. He is the warrior. He is smiting the nations. He's going to defeat the armies of Antichrist. Do you believe that? His eyes are as a flame of fire. His head had many crowns upon it. His name is called the Word of God. His clothing, he has a vesture dipped in blood, and his followers are the armies in heaven. His mouth is a sharp sword that goes out of his mouth. We know his rule, he will rule the nations with a rod of iron. His feet will tread the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And his majesty's name is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus will come again. And I don't see Jesus coming and jerking us out and taking us back and coming back. Jesus will only come one more time. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Amen. The Bible does not teach he'll come and take you out of here and jerk you out in 7 years, come back with it. Jesus, when he comes, he'll come back to this earth. I was in the old teaching. It is not true. Hallelujah. The way it was taught me. Jesus is coming back to the earth. To this earth. He left the Mount of Olives, didn't he? This same Jesus, come on, that was taken up, will so come in what? Like manner. He left the Mount of Olives. He'll come back to the Mount. Zechariah 14. Men saw him go. Men will see him come. He was taken off in a singular cloud. He'll come back in clouds. Hallelujah. And I'm going to throw out another bomb. You want to hear it? The tribulation is not 7 years. It's 3.5 years. I can show you 7 quick scriptures to show you it's 3.5 years, not 7. I want to hit you right between the eyes. Because I tell you what, brother, we're facing things in this nation. God wants to get you ready. Don't quit believing lies like I used to believe. And still, how many know you still have to fight lies? Come on, amen? Amen. Praise God. All right, it's getting good. Let's go back to Revelation. Revelation. Hallelujah. Revelation 3. Verse 12. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar. A pillar where? Who's he going to make a pillar in the temple of God? Overcomers. Those that overcome. What are you overcoming? Come on, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Peggy says everything. Amen. He said, I'm going to make you a pillar. Now, this word overcomer means one who's victorious, one who is a conqueror, one who is an overcomer. I'm going to make you that pillar. How many know a pillar holds up, helps hold up a building? And there's pressure. Isn't that right? Him that overcometh, well, I'll make a pillar in the temple of my God. Now, the King James says, he shall go no more out. But other translations says, he shall never, never shall he go out of it, or he will never leave it, or he shall never leave it. Otherwise, how many know when you're made a pillar, you're a pillar? Huh? Isn't that right? Come on now. You won't leave that place. You won't leave that position. You won't vacate it. You won't retire. Come on, amen? So there's some overcoming, isn't there? There's some victorious living. We've got to conquer some things to be a pillar. And that's mentioned over in Galatians chapter 2. Do you know that? Concerning the apostles. They were called pillars there in the church. You know God's got some pillars? Amen? You read Revelation, look in chapter 10, verse 1. Here's some pillars. 10:1. You know why I like to preach in the morning? I get you fresh. A lot of times you're tired and worn at night. When I preach, I like to preach when people's fresh. Because you can't get this message if your mind's on the parking lot. You can't get it. 10:1. And I saw what? Come on. Another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud. The glory of God. It's a picture of Jesus here. A rainbow was up on his head. You see that in chapter 4. His face, here's Matthew 17 that our brother preached on this morning, was as it were as the what? Come on. The sun. And his feet, like pillars of fire. You know what that is? That's a church walking through tribulation. Hallelujah. Anybody been through some fire lately? Anybody want to become the fire? To become the fire, you'll walk through fire. Come on, you'll know what fire is. Until God burns all the things out. Now, anybody want to know what an overcomer is? Let me tell you what first fruits is. You want to hear this? You want to know what first fruits is? The first fruit people are those whom God purges out all of the rebellion. That's the first fruits. How far have we got to go? Come on. The first fruits are those whom God purges out all rebellion. Anybody hear that? All right, good. Let's bring it down here just a little farther here. Look in verse 12. No, I'm sorry. Revelation 3. Chapter 3. Verse 12. No, I left something off. He said, let no man take thy crown. Anybody want a crown? Anybody want victory? How many know a crown speaks of victory? Rulership speaks of the kingdom. I can show you that in James. Speaks of a lot of things. Now, in chapter 2, to one church, he said, if you'll be faithful to death, I'll give you a crown of life. Remember that? And here he said to this church, don't let any man take your crown. They had the crown. How many believe we can lose some things we have? Amen? And you know, brethren, listen to me. We got this thing, we lay everything off on the devil. How many know God sometimes does some things? Isn't that right, Mildred? You know what the Lord said to one church here? The Jezebel church, Thyatira. He said, I will kill her children with death. How many believe Jesus is sincere? He don't play games, does he? Come on, amen? Jesus said, I will kill her children. You know what it said of Saul? God, an evil spirit from God came. How many has ever read that? Huh? Then there was one in Judges about a spirit coming from God between Abimelech and somebody else. I forget the name. Shechem, I think. You know, in Kings, it says there was a lying spirit came up before God, and God commissioned that lying spirit to go be a lying spirit in the mouth of false prophets. How many know God's still in charge? Whether we believe it or not. You ever read in the Bible where it says righteous judgments of God? Righteous judgments of God? Come on. You ever read in Acts where Paul smote a guy with blindness? Huh? Was that the devil or God through Paul? Sure it was. What about Peter when Ananias and Sapphira died? Was that the devil doing it? No. Peter spoke the word by the Holy Ghost and they fell dead. Huh? Come on, amen. Praise God. All right. But he said in verse, I could go on about that crown, but I won't tonight. It's so much. Look in verse 9. Let's see, what verse is it? Verse 12. Him that what? Overcometh, will I make a pillar, again, in the temple of my God. He shall go no more out. I will write upon him the name. What does the name mean, brethren?
The nature.
The nature of who? Of my God. That's God's the Spirit, so God's writing that, come on, upon you or in you by His Spirit. Isn't He? And notice, what else? The name of the city of my God. How many know that's heaven and holy Jerusalem? Which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from God. And I will write upon him, that overcomer, my new name. How many see that? God said, I'm going to write upon him the name of my God. But then Jesus said, I will write upon him my new name. Now look in chapter 2:17. Let's bring it down to you first. 2:17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone. What kind of stone is it? A holy stone, a righteous stone. Come on, pure stone. You know white is purity and righteousness and holiness? Can I tell you something? In the book of Revelation, white is always referred to God. To God, to Jesus, and to the saints, and to angels. Never to demons, never to devils, never to Antichrist or the beast. Do you hear that? That'll identify Revelation 6. The white horse rider is not Antichrist. It is the gospel of Christ going forth in his name. Hallelujah. No way is it Antichrist. Now, look here in chapter 2, verse 17. Then he says, I will give to him that overcometh, I will give to the eat of the hidden manna. I will give him a white stone, and in the stone a what? What's he going to give us? A new name, a new nature. And then he says, notice, written that no man knoweth save he that receiveth it. All right, now listen to this. Now listen to this. Go back to the scripture there in verse chapter 3, verse 12. Let's see what else Jesus is saying. Now, the last part of it. Let's see what he says now. 3:12. He says, and I will write upon him my new name. All right, Revelation 19. Hallelujah. Verse 12. John sees this white horse rider. Jesus is coming. His eyes were as a flame of fire. And on his head were, come on, what has he got here? Now notice here he's got many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself, right? Was he given a name that only he knew? Now he's saying it. Now look at the next verse. Hallelujah. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called something. Is he the Word of God? Hallelujah. How many know that he's making us also, come on, those living epistles, read and known, come on, of all men. Do you believe that? Man, I could take you into Jeremiah and Hebrews and show you where God is doing that work in us with his word. Amen? That new nature, that name, hallelujah, is being worked out in us. Praise God. And then he said, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man, of course, take thy crown. We said something about that a while ago. Praise God. So Jesus is coming. Jesus has that key of David. Amen? Jesus is opening a door for us as his people. Amen? And if Jesus has given you a crown, you better make sure no man takes it. Amen? You don't lose it. And don't lose your garments. We're putting on that garment now, brethren. I mean, no, that's Christ. It's time to spend time with God. So many run. You're talking like a vagabond. How many know the vagabond spirit don't want anybody to go in to submit to Jesus? Come on. I go across this country and so many don't go to church anyplace. They don't submit to nobody. They're a bone on their own. How many know that's dangerous? They need a local church. Come on, where there's the fivefold ministry, apostles and prophets and teachers and shepherds and evangelists. Amen? To mature and grow them up in Christ. And if you can't go, if you live in a place where there's no churches or no place, then pray that God will open up your home. Whatever it takes. God can do it. Amen? And God can raise up and send in an elder and elders or whoever to help you. Praise God. Listen, God can make a way when there's no way. How many believe it? And go to Holy Ghost meetings. Don't be bound by four walls. Go to Holy Ghost meetings where God leads you out and sends you. Praise God. Somebody say amen. May the Lord bless you. Let's stand. Praise God. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. We praise you. We worship you, Lord. We thank you for your word tonight, Lord. Truly, you've given us an open door, Father. Hallelujah. Your government is on your shoulder. Thank you for your government tonight, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You've paid the total price. You provided everything for us. Lord, forgive us. Forgive us, Lord, that we've submitted to some teachings of the past, all of us, Father. Father God, bring us out of the old moon church and bring us in, hallelujah, to Christ. Lord, let us be covered with your righteousness, with your glory, with your great covering, Lord God. We submit to you tonight, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that intimacy will increase in our hearts towards you. We believe, Lord, you'll bring us in. And Lord, just impart this revelation as you did to John and to others of the past, Lord. We believe in this hour you're imparting this great revelation to you, to those overcomers, Lord. Especially who are going to seek you and press into your presence, Lord. We thank you for that fire that Robert talked about last night. That fire that burns off all the dross. We thank you for deliverance that sets us free from all demonic bondages. And Father, we thank you that we can truly die out to self in your name. We can repent, Father, of every sin, every wicked thing, of all iniquity. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Lord, wash us tonight. Cleanse us tonight, I pray, through your blood, Lord Jesus. And cause us to be overcomers in your name. And everybody said, amen. Praise God. Tomorrow, 6 o'clock. Prayer meeting, and then breakfast at 8 o'clock, and then the services after that. May the Lord bless you as you go your way. Praise God.
Well, the Holy Ghost will set your feet to dancing.
Oh, yeah.
The Holy Ghost will thrill you through and through. Through and through. The Holy Ghost will set your feet to dancing and set your heart to dancing, too. Oh, the Holy Ghost will set your feet a-dancing. The Holy Ghost will thrill you through and through. The Holy Ghost will set your feet a-dancing and set your heart a-dancing too. Now David danced before the Lord. He danced with all his might. His heart was full of holy joy. His spirit was so light. Michael through the window looked to criticize the start. She didn't know that David had got a dancing heart. Oh, the Holy Ghost will set your feet a-dancing. The Holy Ghost will fill you and through. Oh, the Holy Ghost will set your feet a-dancing and set your heart a-dancing too. Now, out of Egypt long ago, the Israelites, they were led by a mighty miracle. They were all kept and fed. Through the Red Sea they were brought. The water stood apart. And God gave Sister Miriam a dance down in her heart.
Oh, the Holy Ghost will set your feet a-dancing. The Holy Ghost will fill you through and through. Oh, through
and through. Oh, the Holy Ghost will set your feet a-dancing. Set your heart a-dancing too. Now there was a celebration upon the Red Sea shore. Timbrels rang and desert sand became a dancing floor. The people sang and they praised God there. He made the gloom depart. He put a dance of love and joy a deep down in their heart.
Oh, the Holy Ghost set your feet a-dancing. The Holy Ghost will fill you through and through, oh, through and through.
Oh, the Holy Ghost will set your feet a-dancing. And set your heart a-dancing to a dancing tune.
Now, we're going to sing the last couple of verses. Some of you need to be set free tonight.
Amen. Praise God.
In the realm of the dance.
Hallelujah. You mean that now? You mean that?
Maybe some of you have come for deliverance and you've been thinking one way or a couple of ways how to be delivered. But one of the ways you can get deliverance tonight in some aspect and area of your life is through the dance.
Oh, man.
Get those feet up. Release yourself.
Don't listen to the dictates of the flesh, because the flesh does not want to praise the Lord. This is a sermon and song. This is a song that tells all about instances in the Bible, a few of them. Now the prodigal, he was far away, wandering out in sin. Ah, but he came back to Father's house, and Father took him in. He put a robe upon his son, the merry man did start. The prodigal got dancing shoes to match his dancing heart.
Oh, the Holy Ghost will set your feet a-dancing. The Holy Ghost will be a through.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the Holy Ghost will set your feet a-dancing. Set your heart a-dancing too.
Now the Father's house with music rang to welcome home the son. Wine was flowing full and free, all misery was gone. Ah, the elder brother looking on complained it wasn't fair. He hadn't got a dancing heart like all the others there.
Oh, the Holy Ghost was sent to be the dancing. The Holy Ghost was being through and through.
Oh, the Holy Ghost was sent to be the dancing. Set your heart to dancing. Now many saints are so cold and bound.
That's right, they are.
By unbelief today. You see, they want the blessing of the Lord.
Yes.
Ah, but they worry what men say.
Yes, they do.
Isn't that true?
Yes.
Oh, let the Lord have full control from dead traditions part, and he will set you free within. You'll have the dancing heart.
Oh, Holy Ghost, set your feet a-dancing. The Holy Ghost,
oh, yeah.
Oh, the Holy Ghost, set your feet a-dancing. Set your heart a-dancing.
Now, in the Bible, we can read that in these latter days, men would leave their first love and turn to carnal ways. But true-born saints of Jesus, for the bridegroom set apart, we're waiting for his coming with a joyful dancing heart.
Oh, the Holy Ghost will set your feet a-dancing. Oh, the Holy Ghost will fill you through and through.
Oh, through and through.
Oh, the Holy Ghost will set your feet a-dancing. Set your heart a-dancing too.
Sing it!
Oh, the Holy Ghost, set your feet a-dancing. The Holy Ghost will be a through and through.
Oh, through and through.
Will set your feet a-dancing and set your heart a-dancing.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.